as he speaks to the Pharisees in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear, hearts willing to respond to your word today, that we might trust Jesus, the only true shepherd who dies to save us. Amen. I don't think anyone would argue that the world currently suffers from a shortage of good leadership. We see it across the globe in scandals and put-downs and corruption and headbutts and accusations and resignations, such as we've seen with Julie Bishop's resignation this week. Julie Bishop was someone who did us proud when standing up for the victims of Flight MH17 that was shot down over the Ukraine. Ramping up pressure on Russia to provide families with compensation. With her departure from politics, now labelled, she's been labelled the best Prime Minister the Liberal Party never had. Think of the strife in the first few months of this year around Brexit and Mexican walls with the longest government shutdown in US history, over 35 days. So it's no surprise leadership training now involves developing many of the traits we feel are currently missing in our leaders, such as New York's Cornell University offering courses in servant leadership, with units focusing on character, authenticity, integrity, courage, humility and compassion, leading with credibility. One article found the solution for so many lousy leaders in compassion, selflessness, humility, mindfulness and courage. Leaders such as American founding father Benjamin Franklin, who began and ended each day by asking two questions: what good shall I do this day? And what good have I done today? Leaders who don't measure their success based on making themselves look good, but how much good that they can do for others. Today we walk into a clash of leadership cultures in Israel, a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees, between Jesus and the religious gatekeepers of the nation. What sort of leader is Jesus? Is Jesus the sort of leader that we should willingly follow? Without good leadership, we are vulnerable. Our whole world is vulnerable to oppressive leaders looking out for their own interests. So how does Jesus differ? What security and stability does he offer us living in an insecure world? Well, unlike Israel's current leaders, Jesus is God's approved shepherd who God's sheep listen to. Last week we witnessed Jesus heal a man born blind. He was begging in the streets and Jesus put mud on his eyes and asked him to wash in the pool of Siloam, immediately restoring his sight. When the Pharisees heard about Jesus' healing on the Sabbath, they treated this man terribly, refusing to believe the evidence, forcibly throwing the healed man out of the synagogue. So stubbornly blind, they couldn't accept the wondrous miracles that God was doing before their very eyes. And now Jesus attacks their leadership directly. From verse 1, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." And Jesus is using language that everyone in those days understood. Flocks were kept safe overnight in sheep pens to protect them from wild animals. But while the shepherd would enter through the sheep gate, robbers would climb in some other way. This is our language too. Along came a jumbuck to drink at the billabong. Up jumped the swagman and grabbed him with glee. And he sang as he stowed that jumbuck in his tucker bag, "You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me." Sheep rustling is our national heritage, our national pastime. These Pharisees are evil swagmen attacking God's jumbucks, God's people. While Jesus healed and welcomed the blind man into God's family, the Pharisees beat him up for talking positively about what God had done in his life. And Israel had a history of poor leadership. Ezekiel 34 is a handbook, a manual of wrongs that Israel's leaders committed leading up to the exile. It says there, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock instead of caring for God's people? You have ruled them harshly and brutally and cared only for yourselves. So the Lord will remove those leaders, lovingly search for his sheep and look after them, leading them to good pasture, placing over them a new shepherd, my servant David. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my shepherd David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I'll make a covenant of peace with them. They will live in safety. No one will make them afraid." And doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound what's lacking in our world? And here in Jesus we see God himself, God's Son, and David's descendant wrapped up in the same person, searching and leading God's lost sheep to salvation, confronting Israel's brutal leaders who are more interested in fleecing God's sheep than in guiding and guarding them. In Australia, sheepdogs, helicopters, and the occasional pig are used to muster sheep. In the Middle East, sheep respond to their shepherd's voice. Moses once prayed to the Lord to appoint someone to round up his people, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. In verse 3, Jesus' sheep listen to him. Just as Jesus is the true shepherd, true believers will recognize his voice. But Jesus goes a step further. He calls us individually by name. Bruce, Sharon, Peter, Heather, Joan. Calls us from our old life of wandering away from God to a new life of following him. That's what it means to be a disciple, someone learning to follow Jesus. And rather than destroy, Jesus opens the only way for us to have life to the full. Let's read from verse 7. "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.'" Last Sunday night, Channel 7 presented a long-awaited expose on a northern New South Wales cult whose teachings are spreading across the world. The leader of the group, called Universal Medicine, his name, Serge Bahayan, he was a tennis coach who had a spiritual epiphany while sitting on the toilet, has preyed on the vulnerable, claiming to be the reincarnation of Leonardo da Vinci, his daughter the reincarnation of Winston Churchill, creating his own religion, telling his followers to beware of 9-foot aliens that smell and watch them constantly. Serge has fleeced one cancer patient of $1.4 million before her death. He only drives Audis because they're the only energetically balanced car, and is now wealthy beyond belief, with over 2,000 followers from a range of professions, including medicine, law, academia, and journalism. Some very smart people follow this man. Who knows why? One wonderfully brave woman, Esther Rockett, has spent years working to expose Universal Medicine, leading to the New South Wales Supreme Court finding that the group is a socially harmful cult, and the leader a charlatan. Can you believe this cult won the Lismore Business Excellence People's Choice Award in 2018? They've won it 4 times. And Israel's leaders were no better. With no real relationship with God, they were out for themselves. They were thieves and robbers who steal, who kill and destroy. In the Gospels, we hear Jesus' stinging critique time and time again, all for show. They were doing everything so people would think well of them, yet burdening people with hundreds of rules and regulations and robbing widows out of their life savings. Judaism of the first century became a socially harmful cult, and their leaders, charlatans, leading people away from God. Then Jesus now changes his language slightly from shepherd to gate. I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is the only way to God. Believing in him gives direct access to restored relationship with our Creator, life to the full. Isn't that a relief? We can't be friends with God because of our sin. But Jesus has opened the way for you to be forgiven, to be led out to the greenest pasture, into eternal life that starts now. A new life loving God and other people. Because rather than abandon us when trouble comes, Jesus lays down his life to save us. Verses 11 to 13, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's not out for himself. He lays down his life. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The leaders who are in it for themselves, for what they can get out of it. When troubles come, they rarely last the distance. Why would a hired hand endanger his own life when a wolf came if they weren't his sheep? Just as these Pharisees show no care for the blind man that Jesus healed, but they turf him out. In fact, rather than hired hands, they were acting as wolves. They were attacking and scattering the sheep. But Jesus would stand his ground. He would defend his sheep to the death. What makes Jesus the good shepherd good? Because he cares so deeply for us, he would lay down his own life to save us. He would pay the ultimate price. I love that moment in the movie Dunkirk when Kenneth Branagh's character, a bloke named Commander Bolton, instead of climbing into the last boat full of British troops heading back to England, he says, I'm staying for the French. To evacuate not only his own men, but as many French soldiers as well. Branagh's character was based on the real-life captain, a bloke named William Tennant. Because of his willingness to stay at Dunkirk until the bitter end, patrolling the beaches with a megaphone, searching for troops, he was nicknamed Dunkirk Joe from then on. Because of our sin, we were lost. We were stranded without God, without hope in the world. But Jesus stayed, refusing to save himself and come down from the cross as people were egging him on. But he remained to the bitter end. And the cross has been the symbol for Christianity from then on. Have you put your faith in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who stayed to the end, who laid down his life for you? Jesus, with God's authority to die and rise again, to gather one flock under his care. Let's read from verses 14 to 17. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Just as Jesus and the Father know each other intimately, Jesus dies to draw us into intimate relationship with himself. And not just Jews who receive him, but even today Jesus is calling people from every nation, every tribe and people group to listen to his voice and belong to him, one flock, one shepherd. Why does the Father love Jesus? Because he would willingly lay down his life of his own accord. He would willingly die the death that my sin deserved, but with the authority to take it up again to guarantee our eternal hope. This is how much the Father loves us. That he would command Jesus, his Son, to give his life so that people of every nation can belong to him forever. Next week at the Lord's Supper, we remember what it costs God to call us his children. I like what Paul Barnett, a Sydney lecturer from Moore College, wrote about this passage. Noticing how Jesus mentions laying down his life for his sheep. For his sheep. He commented that if I mow my neighbour's lawns for my neighbour, I mow them instead of my neighbour having to do it. And Jesus dies for us, instead of us, so that we never have to suffer the judgment our own sins deserve. Instead of us having to do it, Jesus does it for us. He dies for his sheep. Is Jesus the one you believe in and listen to as your good shepherd? In verses 19 to 21, the Jewish leaders are divided. Some say he's raving mad, demon-possessed, while others argue, how can he be demon-possessed if he opened the eyes of the blind? And in the leadership vacuum of our own world, who do you say Jesus is? Raving mad, or the voice that you choose to follow? The true servant leader our world so desperately needs to know about. Of course, passages like this cause me to question my own leadership. How much does my own leadership reflect the care and self-sacrifice and willingness to suffer that marks Jesus' leadership? Or am I in it for what I can get out of it? For fortune and glory, for money and what people think of me? Jesus will always be the true shepherd we need to listen and look to rather than human leaders. But his under-shepherd should reflect our chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5, to the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also share in the glory to be revealed. Peter says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. But as a church, we also don't outsource the responsibility to love and care for one another to our elders and our paid ministers. We all minister to each other and love each other deeply from the heart. We all take an active interest in one another. As our vision for hospitality encourages this year, who is someone that you don't know well, who you can invite over to your place for lunch or afternoon tea on a Sunday? Who is someone at church that you can take an interest in this week, just as Jesus took an interest in you? Renee received the Blu-ray of the series The Crown. Anyone watch The Crown? She received that series for Christmas, which we just began watching together on Thursday. We had too many Nordic Noir series to get through before that, but there's this great scene when the newly married Princess Elizabeth and Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, arrive in Africa. They're stepping out of the plane at Nairobi Airport to be greeted by the locals. And Philip laughs at one of the tribal leaders, making fun of his traditional headpiece which surrounds his whole face. He says, "Nice hat." Elizabeth corrects him, "That's not a hat. It's a crown." And though Jesus would die on a cross as a criminal, that's the very moment we see Jesus for who he truly is. It's God's King. The Good Shepherd, laying down his life for you and me, for everyone who believes and listens to his voice, from every nation, tribe, and people group. Is Jesus your King? Do you believe and belong to God's one flock? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your courage to stand up to the leadership in Israel. Leadership that was causing your people great pain, who were not willing to acknowledge the work that you were doing in people's hearts around them. We pray for our leaders today, dear Lord. We pray for our politicians in the world. We pray for our world leaders. Pray for our local and federal politicians in Australia. We pray for our church leaders. We pray that we would model Jesus' servant leadership, that we would not be in it for ourselves or what people think of us, but we would genuinely care for others with humility and character and integrity. We thank you for our great shepherd, Jesus, a good shepherd, our King, the only true shepherd who stayed it out to the bitter end, dying to save us. Help us accept him as our hope, as our great shepherd, our gate into your pasture to eternal life, the only way we can be saved, who now teaches us how to live for you. Help us to live for Jesus, to love Jesus, and to love others just as he has loved us. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final song together. Only a Holy God, before Frank closes.
Let's stand and sing.